Who barbecue can I crash in Philly?
You are locked on Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_beeble. Quite a quiet, that's a weird phrase to use, quiet and quiet so close together. Quite a quiet 24-hour period in NBA free agency. Only a few deals signed since we last recorded, and all of those have those players going back to their existing team. So I'm going to talk about those signings, going to look into the G League action from Tuesday as well. And just a couple more things, not very much, I promise, to say on the DeMarcus Cousins signing with the Golden State Warriors with some extra news that came out yesterday. So
let's get to it.
Before we do that, though, I did send out the first lot of information for the Red Rock Challenge Leagues. That is for the draft-only leagues. It's been posted up on the Patreon for priority access for the Patreon subscribers. Also, a few emails have gone out to people who have registered their interest via the Google form feedback form. If you want to find that form, head to my Twitter profile. You'll see it on my timeline. It just says Red Rock Challenge Applications. Click on that. Fill in your details so far. I've sent out details for a head-to-head draft-only league and a roto draft-only league. There will be a points draft-only league as well. And as soon as they fill up, I can just keep creating more and more of those. These are like, what they end up being is like mock drafts, but people take them more seriously because there's cash on the line. So you're drafting for a real league, but you don't have to pay any attention to it during the season. You don't set lineups. You don't make trades. You don't make waivers. And while people go, oh, I like all that stuff, that's fine. And this is not to replace any regular leagues. We're still going to be doing all the regular leagues, but this is just something. And for those of you who play fantasy football, analogous to the MFL 10s that are available, you go in there, you do a draft, you set your team. That's it. That's how it works out. You've got a little bit of cash on the line. And it pays, it's all about drafting, and it's very little, it's actually zero effort unless you want to check in during the season to see how your teams are playing out. All the dynasty drafts are full. All the draft orders are done. Those drafts will be commencing in about a month's time, and they'll run over the month of August. So if you do want priority access to the redraft listener leagues in the Red Rock Challenge, become a Patreon subscriber and go fill out that form over on Google Forms, which you have seen on my timeline many times. You're trying to get as many numbers. Ideally, I want to have 12 head-to-head leagues, 12 roto leagues, 12 points leagues. We had 12 head-to-head and 12 roto last season, so I've got no problem that we'll get those. I want to be able to establish a Champions League set up for points leagues, and then as many of the draft-only leagues as we can do would be awesome too. If I can get 5 head-to-head and 5 points and 5 roto ones of those, that would be awesome. And I think, as you know, I'll just keep rolling them out through August and September. Again, no effort required during the season, just an extra way to make your drafting knowledge and your drafting expertise come to fruition with some nice money at the end. So looking forward to those getting filled up, and add your details in, and you will get emails over the coming weeks for the sign-up details for all of those leagues, the standard leagues and the draft only type format. So make sure you are seeing your emails, checking the Patreon posts, which will have priority access over there, and signing up to those leagues. There'll be about, for the standard Red Rock Challenge, half of them will be free, and the other half will have payment. There'll be some $100 leagues, some $50 leagues, some $25 leagues, and then there'll be a bunch of them that are free as well. Whereas all the draft only ones will be paid ones, because you know, that's part of the idea. You put in that money, and you draft and see how it goes. So that's how all those leagues will be going down. So make sure you are getting involved. They are going to be fun. They're going to be competitive. There's nothing more fun than beating a competitive fantasy league. And these ones will be quite competitive, I can assure you. And shout out to everyone who is in the Champions League. I will be in the points draft only league. I'm already in that. So that's one you can get a piece of me in that one as well. Let's talk a little bit more Boogie Cousins. I gave my thoughts on that yesterday, and basically as soon as I stopped recording, the report came out from Mark Stein that the New Orleans Pelicans had offered DeMarcus Cousins 2 years, $40 million. And of course, because of my stance on the Cousins signing and you know everything that I said about it. Yeah, people were coming at me. Oh, look, what are you talking about, man? He got offered 2 years, $40 million. So he's full of shit. He just ring chaser, pussy, no competition. And it's important to get context. It's important to be able to comprehend it and read what those articles are actually saying. Yes, the Pelicans offered DeMarcus Cousins 2 years, $40 million. While the season was still happening, not in free agency, they came to him and said, we'll give you two years, $40 million. And he said, you know what? I think I'm worth more than that. I'm going to go out onto the market and I want to be able to get more than that. You should come back with a better offer. And the Pelicans basically just said, language warning, they said, fuck you. We're not giving you any more than that. And they took that offer completely off the table. So that when free agency opened and 2 days were in and he didn't have any offers, as he said in free agency, he didn't have offers, he panicked because he couldn't go back to New Orleans because that offer wasn't there. This all ties into that time. Remember when there was that, controversy about him unfollowing the Pelicans on social media? That all ties in from that time when they gave the offer. He said, I think I deserve longer. I think I deserve more. And they've said, well, this is it. Bad luck. And, you know, basically put it out and said, do you want this? Do you want this? Do you want this? And then pulled it away, Charlie Brown football style. That's pretty much what happened. And he got pissed and said, well, you know, and then that offer was gone. And then he's sitting there for 2 days as someone who rightfully thinks he is one of the premier free agents out there and getting no offers. And so he panicked. So he called a few teams, called the Lakers, called the Celtics, called the Warriors from what my understanding is, and said he'd be happy to take those deals because, again, there is no money available. No other team can offer $15, $20 million, really. He offered the Lakers to take him for $5.3 million, and they didn't want him. He presented that same deal, that same contract offer, 1 year, mid-level exception, to the Lakers, and they said, nah, fam, we're good. The Celtics, they couldn't offer much more than that, if they could even offer that, and the Warriors, and they took him up on it. I don't see anything wrong. He did not turn down $20 million for $5 million. He wasn't sitting there and someone saying, well, we'll give you 20 for 2 years. We'll give you 40 for 2 years and we'll give you 5 for 1. He went, you know what, guys? I'm going to take the 5 for 1. That option wasn't there. This was a case where he probably ended up regretting the fact that he didn't take 2 years, $40 million from the Pelicans. That was offered. He said no, thinking, I can do better. I'll get 480. I'll get 375, whatever it is. Guys, 240 is nowhere near enough. Yeah, that's not enough. And they said, fine, you're not getting that then. That offer is off the table. So again, it wasn't like he was sitting there going, 2 years, $40 million, 1 year, 5. Which one is it going to be? I'll take the 5. It was 2 years, 40. So that's gone. A month later, shit, nothing's happening. I need a team. Where can I go? Lakers, do you want me? No, I don't want you for $5 million. Warriors, do you? Sure, we'll have you. Bang, done. So it's disingenuous to say that he turned down $40 million for a $5 million contract. Yes, he turned down $40 million contract for 2 years. He turned it down. No one's denying that. It wasn't actually offered in free agency for him to have the chance to sign. It was presented. We will offer you this when free agency comes. I think I can do better. Sorry, that's gone. Weird negotiating tactic, but that's what it is. And they were completely out of the DeMarcus Cousins business after that. And his options weren't there. Again, teams weren't coming to him with contracts. So you can call him soft. You can call him a pussy. You can call him a snake. You can say whatever you want. But that's the reality of the situation. It wasn't a case of weighing up 40 versus 5, I'll take 5. That wasn't how it went anywhere close to it. It was 0 versus 5, or a month, 2 months before, it was 40. Nah, I think I can do better. Just think about anything in your own life where you think back to, you know, 2 months, even in a fantasy situation, if you like, it's in December and you go, you know what, man, it was the 50th pick in the draft and I picked Carmelo Anthony. I wish I had taken Victor Oladipo. Well, when you get to December, it's not like, oh, turn down Victor Oladipo for Carmelo Anthony. How stupid do you have to be? Well, you didn't have that same knowledge or same thought process or same set of information back when you were making that choice. He didn't have that same, he didn't have that idea when the Pelicans presented 2 years, $40 million that no one else was going to offer a contract to him. He didn't know that. Otherwise, he would have said, you know what? Sure, I'll have this. This is, if this is what my market is, I'll have it. He didn't know that. He didn't know that's what was going to be the case. And then again, that offer wasn't available when the time came in free agency. So I just wanted to clear that up because reading a headline or a single tweet can be misleading. DeMarcus Cousins turned down 2 years, $40 million. Yes, he did. But it wasn't in the same time frame as when he was actually able to sign a contract. It was taken away. And that's how that situation played out. So I hope that gives some clarity. I hope that gives you some level of understanding of how that situation played out. It wasn't, oh, he's a liar, he's full of shit, mate, he got an offer. Yeah, he did. It's also like a player who might get an extension before their rookie contract comes up, they decline it, and then they have a shit year, and then you can say, well, they turned down $50 million and only got 1 year, $7 million. How terrible are they? Oh, yeah, why would they do that? They're sacrificing their money. Well, that offer's gone. And that's exactly what that was with the Pelicans. That offer was gone. He made a gamble on himself. It didn't work in that respect. It possibly is going to work from a championship perspective, playing on this team, all that sort of stuff. It may not. It may completely screw things up in Golden State. Unlikely, but it's a possibility. But that's the way that all that stuff went down. I think it was important to mention that when talking about DeMarcus Cousins and this contract that has got so many people riled. And again, everyone, oh man, no one's going to watch the NBA anymore. 90% of fans just, that's just not true. It's just not true. People will still watch. You can get back to me at the end of the season and show me the ratings numbers. And if they are 90% down, then I'll believe you. But it's just not going to be the case that every fan is going to turn off. People talk a big game now, especially local radio people or football people. There's so much of that going around. It's not the case that this many people are so against this issue, even as frustrating as it may be. And you're allowed to be frustrated. I'm completely frustrated with it as well. But it just is what it is. And that's just the way that all of this stuff, happens to go. All right, again, not much else happening in free agency today. Only four deals went down, and one of those was a rookie contract extension with Devin Booker signing a five-year or agreeing to a five-year $158 million extension. That is massive, massive. And you can have issues with Devin Booker as a player. I completely understand that. He does struggle defensively. He has been getting what you'd call, say, empty stats maybe on a bad team. Maybe he doesn't contribute to winning. But you have to view this in the prism of the NBA landscape. What are the Suns going to do? He wants a max contract. Are you going to say no? He might not live up to that, but I'll tell you this now. He's got a much better chance of living up to that contract than Andrew Wiggins does for his five-year max contract. Got no problem with that. Booker averaged 25, almost 5-5. And, you know, pretty decent efficiency, 56 true shooting. Not great, but better than his first two seasons, where he's at 53. He has significant defensive struggles. We're aware of that. But a guy that has been on a team that sucked his whole career, and some of that is to do with him, no doubt about that, with his play style, his defense. That's some of that's there. But the Suns have to make that deal. There is a chance that it looks terrible by the end of it, and he doesn't live up to that value. But you've got to look at opportunity cost. For the Suns, they have to be able to secure this talent to build around, and maybe it works. You'd say there's maybe a 40% chance of him living up to being a $160 million player. There's maybe 40% chance of that. Maybe that's too high. But you got to take that as the Suns. You have to, because there's 0% chance of you being a great team if you decline this contract. And you say, no, we're just going to let you walk. That is just not going to happen. That is not going to be... And then you run the risk of pissing off your player. Similar in a way to Gordon Hayward in Utah, who got pissed by the contract negotiations that they wouldn't extend, and he had to go get an offer sheet, and then it got matched. Eric Gordon in New Orleans, the same sort of story. He didn't like the restricted free agency process. So you have to do it in that regard. And Booker took big steps forward this season. His PER jumped to above average for the first time. His box score plus minus went into the positive for the first time. His on-off stuff still isn't fantastic. A negative 0.7 last year, which isn't great. Winshare stuff doesn't look, you know, fantastic. True shooting still below average, but took his three-point percentage up to 38%. And realistically, yeah, played really, really well. And he's going to be a fantasy star for the next coming season. 29th last year, could jump into the top 25 for the coming season. But it's going to depend on a few things there. Can he get his field goals to 45%? Can he get his steals to 1.3? He was at 43 from the field and 0.9 steals last season. Will the addition of DeAndre Ayton improve that efficiency? But will it also drop his 31% usage? I think both of those things are a possibility. So he might not score 25 points per game next season. Devin Booker might be looking at 23 points per game, but he also should be playing a little bit more point guard. Maybe he averages 5.2, 5.4 assists. Maybe he gets 1.2 steals with more focus on the defensive end. And maybe he shoots 45 from the field and does it on fewer attempts. So, and that's an improvement in efficiency, and a decrease in attempts, which are two big positives for his overall fantasy value in that category. So there is a chance that he can improve on that. I think it's fine they offer that contract. They pretty much had to offer that contract. And there's still a significant chance, a greater than 50% chance, he doesn't live up to that deal. But you have to make that contract. It's not an Andrew Wiggins type scenario. I don't think it's anywhere near that. And good on the Suns for agreeing to that that deal. The next contract that was signed was Kevon Looney, who went back to Golden State on a one-year minimum deal. I was stunned by this, to be honest. The Warriors declined Looney's fourth year option, meaning they couldn't pay him over the $2.2 million he was due to make this season. In the end, it didn't matter because apparently he didn't get any significant deals. And again, the market is so extremely tight, but I thought somebody would have been able to offer him a $4 million a year deal for 3 years, $5 million perhaps. But no one wanted to give him significantly more money. He's not a guy who's out there chasing rings. He's got two rings already. It's just weird that he was brought back on that one-year minimum deal, and you're seeing so many players take one-year deals. There are going to be, it's probably going to be 200, 220, I reckon, free agents next year is how it feels. There's going to be just an absolute multitude of guys going back onto the market. Everyone's signing one-year deals. Dwight Howard, I'm going to go through everyone who signed a one-year deal. Dwight, Michael Carter-Williams, Jeff Green, Tyreek Evans, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Tolliver, Mike Scott, JJ Redick, Jose Calderon, Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Alfred Payton, Mario Hezonja, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Salah Mejri, Luke Kornet, Nick Stauskas, Gerald Green, Omri Caspi, Derek Rose, Ed Davis, Trevor Ariza. Like, there are tons of guys, Rudy Gay, that have signed one-year deals, a few of them who have signed two-year deals with player options on the second year, 2 year deals with non guarantees on the second year, like Avery Bradley with the Clippers. So there's going to be a ton of guys who are able to get back onto the market. Julius Randle's got a second year player option with the Pelicans. He can get back onto the market as well. So many of these guys, Seth Curry, so many of these guys that signed this season are a real chance to be back when there is an $8 million cap bump next season. They'll be back on the market, able to get this money. Now, as for Kevon Looney, with Boogie out till likely December, January, Looney and Jordan Bell, who we're going to talk about a lot later, are going to have a real chance to have an impact to start the season. I don't know which way they're going to go. Steve Kerr still seems to have issues with Jordan Bell. And Looney was a guy who was able to put up some strong block, steals, and field goal percentage numbers at the end of last season while doing it in about 20 minutes per game. And he could find himself at 24 minutes per game this season for the first 2 to 3 months, along with Jordan Bell getting those minutes. There's also Damian Jones in that mix. So I don't think that Looney's going to be a tremendous fantasy target, but he's going to be a strong waiver wire option in standard leagues early on, as is Bell, depending on how it plays out, and a solid enough deeper league guy, and I could see him slotting in and being the backup center when Boogie comes back and still getting those 24 minutes with someone like Bell playing a lot of backup power forward behind Draymond Green. So he's going to be a solid enough blocks, steals, rebounds, field goal percentage type streaming option for fantasy. He averaged 1.3 steals and 2.2 blocks per 36 last season with a 58% field goal percentage and 8.5 rebounds per 36. So really did take a step forward. He was a guy that, if you go back and listen, if you can find it, my draft recap pod after his draft, I was stunned that he went to 30. That is a steal. He is going to be a really good player. And then the hip injury screwed up his first two seasons, and he looked shit for the majority of that. But he finally got healthy and was able to put up good numbers. Actually had a higher box score plus minus than Devin Booker last season. Massive win shares, 0.145 per 48 is huge. He had a PER of 15. He was a net neutral in terms of on-off, which considering the players ahead of him on this team and playing with the bench units, that's a stunning number for Kevon Looney. So he was much improved. And in comparison, his first season in the NBA, he was a negative 55.8, which is astonishingly huge. It was only at 21 minutes, of course. And then next season, he had 450 minutes and was a negative 13.7. So he doubled his minutes and was able to be a neutral factor in terms of on-off. And that is absolutely fantastic. He improved his defense. He's never going to be a star, but if he had gone to a team where they could have started him at power forward, say he went to the Knicks and they weren't going to go with a Mario Hezonja at that spot. If he played 27 minutes for the Knicks, he'd be a definite top 100 player. Two blocks, 58%, 12 and 8 with 1.4 steals. He would have been a solid top 100 fantasy guy. So it is a little bit baffling that no one did offer him $4 million. 2 years, $4 million or whatever. Just 1 year, $4 million and get him away from the Warriors. Fatface Ray Felton went back to the Oklahoma City Thunder on a 1 year minimum deal. He's just going to move in and do exactly what he did last season. This team is exactly the same. Very little to say about Felton there. And Amir Johnson also heads back to Philadelphia on a 1 year deal. He was there on a 1 year, $12 million deal last season. But all of you guys who are really hoping for that Rashawn Holmes breakout, Amir Johnson coming over doesn't really, coming back, shouldn't fill you with too much confidence. There is going to be also Jonah Bolden coming across to play some of those power forward center minutes also. So I don't think we're going to see any sort of Rashawn Holmes breakout. Maybe he can outplay Johnson and become the backup center. But for Johnson's struggles, they did like using him over Rashawn for most of the season. And I think that's going to be the biggest thing there. And if Embiid misses time or gets injured, you'll see Amir starting and Holmes playing those backup minutes, but playing more minutes potentially than Amir in that situation. But it's not going to be a free reign for Holmes to get 30 minutes per night in Philadelphia with Amir Johnson back in the fold. All right, what I want to do now is let's talk some Summer League, and let's look at probably the best performance from day two of Summer League, and that was Derek Jones Jr. of the Miami Heat. I don't think that Derek Jones Jr. is a very good player. This is his third season in the NBA, so his third Summer League, and he should be dominating, but this was a very, very strong performance. 21 points with 5 rebounds, but look at the defensive stats. 3 steals, 4 blocks. Weird that he was only 4 of 9 from the free throw line. And this is coming off the back of a second strong performance from Jones. But if you look at Miami, Tyler Johnson, Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Dwayne Wade, is he going to come back? We haven't heard anything from Dwayne Wade. Deion Waiters, he should be back there. Justice Winslow on the wing. Where is Jones going to get any minutes? And even last season when there were injuries there and he started, he does absolutely nothing with them. There's nothing to me that says that Derek Jones Jr. is a solid NBA player or someone who is ready to break out, but he is doing what he needs to do in Summer League, and that is play well, because he has struggled in every sort of situation where he's played in the NBA, and hasn't really ever shown me anything positive that makes me go, yeah, this guy is going to be a good player. Can't really shoot. True shooting of just 48% last season. Doesn't hit his threes at a high rate, doesn't do anything rebound or assist-wise, and that's why these blocks and steals that he was putting up were somewhat surprising for him. Decent enough numbers in the G League. He's a strong G League player last season, 17 points with 7.5 boards, 2 assists, and almost 2 blocks and 1.3 steals. So he's able to do these defensive things against lower-level competition, which is what he's done here in the G League. To be fair to him, he had a pretty good block percentage last season, 4.4% in his 245 minutes. So that's a strong block number. So maybe he can contribute there, but finding a path to minutes for Derek Jones Jr. is going to be a little bit tough. But again, you're putting up the numbers that you need to put up as a third year guy playing in Summer League. And that's obviously a really important thing to be able to do, to show that you at least can belong in the league and be able to do those things. So a good performance from him, especially with those defensive stats. Let's have a look at some of the other games through some other notable performances. The Baptist, John Collins, had 19 points on 50% shooting. He had 7 boards, a steal, and a block. And the best thing we can say for him is he looks like he is too good for Summer League, which is exactly what he should be. He did miss all 4 of his 3-pointers, but I think that you should be looking at him as penciled in as the starter for next season, as a almost guaranteed top 100 player with the potential to be a top 50 guy. He looks smooth out there. He's handling the ball. He's showing defensive abilities. He's looking comfortable from 3. Didn't hit them that well, I think he's going to be a massive, massive shot for a top 50. Probably wouldn't draft him there, but a massive shot. Yes, the Moose Mike Muscala is still around. The Undertaker Dwayne Dedman's still around, but the Baptist should be getting these minutes next to Dedman, playing alongside him and playing at center as well. And I think a really, really big season is happening for Collins. And I think that despite there's some, you know, easier foundational, I think he can be. I think he can be a really strong player. Not a guarantee that he's going to get there, but I think he's in a really strong spot here in Atlanta to put up these sort of numbers. Now, Trae Young, going over more of Atlanta from Summer League. Trae Young struggled again, 12 points on 16 shots. That's 31%, 3 assists and a steal. I still think that it's nothing to really panic about, although some of the concerns we had from him from the second half of the college season are starting to come out. Poor shooting, which is what he did basically over the second half of that college year, is coming to the fore here. He's getting the opportunities. He's taking the shots. It's starting to appear more like Dennis Schröder may actually remain on the Hawks team, which is going to have an impact on someone like Trae Young, but there is talk that they will try and play them together. That is going to cut into minutes of Tyler Dorsey and more importantly into someone like Kent Bazemore, which is fine because those guys aren't good. But Young is going to kill your field goal percentage this season. I can guarantee you that. Think about what Dennis Smith Jr. did to field goal percentage last year. Young is going to be that guy, but also don't panic too much about these somewhat subpar performances. I'm still happy with the way he's getting his shots. He's getting to the rim okay, still some struggles there, but finishing has been not bad. And I think we'll see a decent performance from him. Dorsey was strong again, 14 and 5, and the Wizard, Amari Spellman, had 10 and 7 with 2 steals and a block. Dedman, Collins, Muscala, they're all ahead of him currently on the depth chart. I don't really see too much to get excited. Now, I didn't like the pick of Spellman. Didn't like him in terms of his, fantasy value, but he's shown enough at Summer League where you should get a level of intrigue from what he's been doing. Not much else to really talk about. My man Jalen Adams, I think that he is a real interesting, really deep league guy on a two-way contract for these Hawks team. I mentioned him in the dynasty ranks of rookies. He is he's someone to pay some attention to. I think he can have somewhat of an impact on this team, especially once they admit that they're sucking towards the end of the season. So he'll be someone to look at. Derek White in his second season continues to kill Summer League, 21-6-9, 2 steals, 2 blocks. These are the numbers that we love from him coming out of Colorado. There's a chance that Tony Parker isn't back and Derek White immediately slips into a 20-minute role as the backup point guard on this team, and I'm here for it. I think that there is a chance. DeJounte Murray, really good defensively, struggles offensively. Could White take some of those minutes off Murray? Marginal chance, but I can see him being a regular type rotation guy for this team. Chimezie Metu started at center, 13-9 as a second round pick against the Baptist. Still has some issues, but that's decent production. While Jahren Blossom game, one of the top G League producers last season, had a nice double-double. I think he will struggle to become an NBA player though. So it was nice to see a solid performance from him. Lonnie Walker the fourth didn't play in this game. For the Memphis Grizzlies, a strong performance from Wayne Selden Jr. He had 20 points, 6 of 17 from the field, 4 rebounds and 6 assists, probably into that class of too good for Summer League. There is real opportunity here in Memphis. Who's going to have this starting role? You've got Mike Conley at point guard, and then you've got Dylan Brooksy Brooks probably playing the 3. And then who's starting at shooting guard? Is it Marshawn Brooks? Or is it Wayne Selden? Selden was bothered by a quad injury similar to Kawhi Leonard's last season, and we barely saw him. He also killed Summer League last season, had a couple of decent games in the NBA, but then also some real shit ones. But heading into his third season, these are the sort of performances that should give you a level of hope, and he could become a late round flyer type of guy, but more information will need to come to hand. But a strong performance. Jaren Jackson didn't hit 8 threes, but still, 27 minutes, 10 and 8, 2 threes, 2 blocks. This is why I love him for fantasy. The rebounds were up, were great. The blocks were there. He still hit 2 threes, hit them at 50%. Really, really strong numbers from Jackson, and I'm getting more to think that he will be, if not the starter opening night at power forward, a guy that plays 25 minutes almost immediately, backing up the 4 and backing up the 5. Deontay Davis also looks solid. I'm still not sold on his ability to stay focused and concentrate on an NBA game for long enough, but these are the sort of performances that make you get a little bit excited. While Kobe Simmons had 20 points on 18 shots and had zero assists. He's a two-way guy for Memphis. I don't really see a lot in him. He had opportunities last season, wasn't able to fully take advantage of those. Javon Carter struggled offensively, but did his thing defensively with two steals. For the Jazz, there was no Grayson Allen in this one. He sat back. Naz Mitru-Long, loved what he did. 19, 6, and 8 with two steals. And like Jaron Blossom game that I talked about early, Naz was one of those guys in the G League who, and I've got a list of the top G League fantasy players, he was in that top bracket of G League fantasy guys and could be someone who we find come in and play some minutes in the NBA. Another guy who was in that top list of G League fantasy players was George Niang, who had his second consecutive strong game, 18, 10, and 4. He's got a great game for fantasy. I think he might be a little bit too slow for the NBA. He's maybe a little bit Kyle Anderson-like in that regard. But someone to watch if that opportunity does arise, George Niang can put up fantasy numbers, and we saw that here. Also, Tony Bradley looks so much better in his second season, a second consecutive double-double for him, 18 and 10, but of course he's behind Favors and he's behind Gobert on the depth chart, so not a lot to see there. And also, my man to keep an eye on for your deep leagues, Keelan Martin, went to the bench but had 7 points in 18 minutes. I think he has got some pretty significant fantasy value. If we want to talk about the Lakers now, and Svi Mykhailiuk had 12 points on 2 of 8 3-point shooting with 2 steals and a block. It was a solid enough game. Again, where is he going to find the minutes in the regular season? That's the concern. But he's played well in both of these summer league performances. Mo Wagner, Flamin Mo, 8-4 in 18 minutes. I didn't like the pick of Wagner. There is opportunity at center for the Lakers with JaVale and Zubats as the only other two centers. So maybe Wagner can play in a Kevin Love-ish role alongside LeBron James as a stretch five. Defense will be absolutely atrocious, but there is something there offensively for him. Joshy Hart didn't do a huge amount in this game, unfortunately. On the Miami side of things, Duncan Robinson's a name to watch. An undrafted player, had 19 points with 4 rebounds and 2 assists. He's that guy in a 30-team league to pay attention to. Again, this team is so deep. The Heat, he's a guy that can play on the wing. Where does he fit in with Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Dwayne Wade, Tyler Johnson, Deion Waiters, Derek Jones Jr.? Where does Duncan Robinson fit in? But maybe he ends up going to another team. So he is definitely a name to watch out for, and he's been very, very solid in his time playing for this Heat Summer League team. Another guy in this Heat Summer League team who was one of the stars of the G League from a fantasy point of view, Landry Noko, 2-6 with 2 blocks here, had some really strong performances last season in the G League and was one of the top, 20 or 30 fantasy guys last season in the G League. So he, and I'm going to do a little bit more of those G League guys in maybe tomorrow's show, because there's no Summer League games going on today. So unless there's a flurry of free agent activity, I'll be doing a little bit more of this G League, looking at a couple of guys in the G League to pay attention to for dynasties, and maybe some information on dynasty league settings, ways to set up dynasty leagues, different types of ways to do those leagues. Maybe that's what we'll do in tomorrow's show, but that's still to be decided. And then the last game I want to talk about, Jordan Bell, 8 points on 4 of 5 field goals, but 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals and 4 blocks. You know I love me some Jordan Bell. I cannot believe still that the Chicago Bulls gave him or sold that pick away. And never I say that, there's always Bulls fans, and I don't get it, who are just blindly devoted to defending Gar Foreman and John Paxson. I'll never get it. I don't understand why you need to defend him. And had someone come into my mention and say, oh, the Bulls didn't need him. They had Portis, they had Mirotic, they just drafted Markkanen, and now they've got Wendell Carter. They just signed Chris Felizio. They didn't need Jordan Bell. Well, that's bullshit. That's just total bullshit. I thought Bell should have been a pick in the 20s, early 20s of the draft. He was available there. And not to say that they didn't even have, they were going to pick him at that pick because they believed in this, but you know, Portis, Mirotic, you didn't know what Markkanen was going to be. You're not looking at Robin Lopez. You're not going, yeah, well, we're set for the future in our front court, guys. We're set. You don't have that mentality. It's just, and then to say that we didn't have anyone left on our board by pick, whatever it was, 35, 38, I don't even know what it was. To say you didn't have anyone on your board, that's the biggest failure. You didn't scout Jordan Bell at all? Nonsense. Bell took a pull-up 3 off the dribble. Nonsense. Blocking shots, getting steals, passing. He is going to get a lot of those minutes backing up Draymond Green. He'll get some of those minutes at center early in the season. He only needs 24 minutes. He had 24 minutes here. That is a fantastic fantasy line. That's all he needs. Will he get it? Maybe. Maybe he gets 20 to start the season. But again, we have to see how this all plays out, how it looks in preseason. But he could be a very interesting late round pick in drafts, at least for the first 3 months of the season. Kendrick Nunn was someone who I highlighted yesterday. He was all right, 9-5. But Jacob Evans, their first round pick, made his summer league debut, 13-5 with 2 steals. Could he immediately be in the rotation? Depends what happens with Pat McCaw, but straight behind Durant and Iguodala. Yeah, so he's likely not playing most nights, but he's someone to watch, and I do think that he does have some significant upside for dynasty-type formats. For the Kings, Justin Jackson, you look at this, and I said yesterday, Justin Jackson's not good. I still stand by that. He had 20 points with 5 rebounds, but as is so often the case with Justin Jackson, go back and look through his game log from last season. You can see that whenever he has a big scoring game, it comes on nonsense type shooting. 64% from the field. Like, that is not a sustainable figure in terms of shooting. And then nothing else. No steals, no blocks, 5 rebounds and assists. There's nothing else there. Very rarely does Justin Jackson come and score 18 points on 40% shooting where you go, he's still getting his points even though the shooting wasn't there. And that is a real worrying factor to me. It shows complete inconsistency. And it shows when you're not contributing in other areas that for you to have a big game and it looks flashy, 20 points, man, that's so sexy. For you to get that sort of production, you need to have a night which is completely unsustainable. And that's where I am with Justin Jackson. Marvin Bagley, yuck, it wasn't good. Now, I talked about Trae Young and you don't want to panic after a couple of games, but it does get worrisome when a player's issues coming into the draft, issues in college manifest themselves here as well. 7 points, 7 rebounds, 3 of 16 from the field, missed all 5 of his free throws and 1 of 3 from the line. Now, I praised Bagley yesterday for being able to go 5 of 6 from the line, saying that was a real issue of his from college. 1 of 3 from the line, that's the problem. He has blocked 5 shots across the 2 games, considering I think he blocked 29 shots in his entire college career. That is improvement. His defense is still bad. His tunnel vision is a real problem, gets no assist, doesn't move the ball, and shot selection's a problem. I think that Bagley, he was taken number 2 in the draft. He would not be my number 2 rookie in Dynasty Leagues. You know that. He would be, I think I had him at number 7 in Dynasty Leagues. I don't think he should be a standard league player for this season. And there's some real worrying signs from just what he showed in college, doing the same sort of type of things here in Summer League. Harry Giles, great to see him on the court. Great to see him play 28 minutes. The shooting was well off for him as well. 2 of 9, struggled there, but it was active defensively. 4 steals and a block. I think that we're going to see Giles in the rotation ahead of Labissiere this season, and maybe even ahead of Costa Kufos. There's still Zach Randolph, Willie Cauley-Stein, and Bagley, of course, so he's not going to get enough minutes to be a real contributor, but I can see Cauley-Stein going off this team. I can see him, and Kufos and Randolph will be gone after this season as well. So Giles was impressive. There was no De'Aaron Fox, so Frank Mason stepped up, 16-4-5 with 3 steals. He is rock solid, strong backup point guard, really great backup or point guard option in deeper leagues. And if Fox gets hurt, he is going to churn out some pretty strong numbers most of the time. So that's a positive there for Sacramento. It's just how solid Frank Mason looks as their backup point guard. Guys, I reckon that will do us for today's show. Hopefully we get some signings happening, so there's a bit more free agency stuff to talk about tomorrow. Otherwise, I'll be talking some Dynasty League stuff and some of those G League players as guys to watch for those of you in Dynasty type formats. We'll see exactly what we're going to do for that show tomorrow. If you want in the Red Rock Challenge Leagues, go either become a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/redrock_bball, or go fill out that form on my Twitter timeline at redrock_bball. You'll see that form that I tweet out once or twice a day. I've got a ton of applications so far. There's going to be a lot of leagues, but I've got in excess of 300 applications so far, so lots of them there. And that just means the more applications I get and the more leagues that I'll end up opening. So go and put your information down there. If you do like this podcast, subscribe to it on YouTube and give me a thumbs up. It's a great way of getting the show out. And tell your friends, share it on your social media. If you go out there and retweet the show, either the YouTube show or the podcast link for today's show, if you go and do that, if you go share it on your Twitter, I'll give you a follow. Not that that really means anything, but I'll follow you if you go do that today. 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn. You know where the podcast is found. Go and give it some love over there. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. Rashawn Holmes.